You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I want to say this today. Today's message is called Women of Faith. And it's going to encourage you. It's going to spur you on. I'll start with this by saying to mothers today, we honour and respect you today. Not simply for what you do, but for who you are. For who you are as a woman of God. You're created in God's image and you're exampling the image of God in nurture and care for his children, whether they be your own children or children within the body of Christ. And to every woman, we respect and honour you today for who you are, the fact that you're created in God's image. We affirm you. You are valued within this church. You are valued within the body of Christ. What you bring to his church is so important. Loving, caring, supporting, leading, ministering. We're stronger because of you, woman, in the church body. So we make room today for every single woman at every stage of life, all the way through from our young ones, all the way through to our oldest. And we are so thankful. We celebrate you for who you are and who you're becoming in Christ Jesus as well. We make space for those today who also have an ache in their heart. You know, there are many people in this space who today's a celebration, but there's also potentially some loss and some grief for many and various reasons. Not one of us walk the same journey, amen. We all walk our own individual journey. So to those who are in a deep struggle today, you're met with a deep struggle or a deep tension or a deep ache, may today be a day of healing. May today be a day of redemption. May today be a day of passion reignited, vision awakened. May today be a day of miracles. May today be a day of understanding broadened and unity expanded within the body. Amen. Amen. Today we acknowledge more than one narrative. You know, between celebration and sensitivity, as I said last week, there is a spectrum of situations and circumstances. But I know this to be true. God is a God of affirmation. God is a God of healing. He is a God of redemption. And in this house, in his house, there is room for everything between celebration and the redemptive love and kindness of God. Amen? Amen. So we're so grateful for you, for your mothers. We're so grateful for you, women in the church. Maybe you're raising your own clan. You are learning from mothers who have gone before you. You're exemplifying to other mothers, younger mothers, and those who have come after you. Women, we celebrate you. You're probably thinking, you're going on a bit. You know what? With everything that's going on in our world right now, this is the place where the narrative changes. With everything that's happening with women in society, this is the place where everything changes, where the true biblical narrative comes into play. Amen. I can see some women smiling right now. I like it. So we celebrate you. You know, you're being present, perhaps as spiritual mothers for women, for girls in our church and others outside. You're standing in the gap for those who don't have a mother present. Thank you for being women with a heart that is committed to love, to serve, to nurture, to correct. Everybody needs a good woman in their life that brings correction, amen. I'll testify to that. Thank you for challenging. Thank you for offering that with care, with kindness to both the children and the adults that God brings into your life, whether it's biological relations or it's sons and daughters of God. We celebrate you today, not for what you do, but for who you are. Women of God, whose hearts beat to fulfill the will that God has set before you. Thank you. You know, as part of this day, I want to honour my mum. I hope she's not watching. But I want to honour my mum. You know, she has a special anointing on her life. And that anointing was given to her because of me. God gave her that special anointing. She needed all of the help that she could get. She was tested. She followed in the footsteps of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, of going into the wilderness, into the desert places, being tested by her offspring, which probably didn't feel like 40 days, but more like 40 years in the wilderness. There was no time for her to sit back, to take in how well I was responding to her love and care and nurture and correction. In reflection, as I was reflecting this week, I just had this thought that I was sent for such a time as this, sent to test her faith and her commitment to the kingdom of God. But I want to celebrate her today. Did she get everything right? No. Did I get everything right? Absolutely not. But she did her best with what she had to work with. She took me to sports. She made ways for me to experience training environments with sports and other things that were well outside of our family's financial designation. She hung in there long enough to get me to youth group, signing me up for youth camps that we couldn't afford and I definitely didn't want to go to. I'm not going to talk about all of the things that she had to contend with because of me, because I don't want to give our young people any ideas. But let me tell you, I honor her and bless her. You know, today I want to honor Naomi, another woman in my life. She signed up to be the wife of a fine-looking young man who walked through the world with grace and the strength of 1,000 stallions. Little did she know that this journey of womanhood, wife, and motherhood would mean that she would get to raise 3 unbridled wild stallions and that she would be tested to love and raise them in the ways of God. Little did she know that God would call her to stand in the gap on behalf of others, to show the heart of a mother to those who were in need of God's heart. You know, over the years, I've observed that there's this wide expertise and aptitude of knack, mastery, empathy, and a grit and determination when it comes to outworking the skill of mum, outworking the skill of wife, and for what could only be described of being the wife of what for most of my life could be described as mostly an adult male, most of the time. But this deep empathy and compassion. The third person I want to honor today is the counselor who came into my life at the age of 26. A woman, a pastor, a counselor, a woman of God, with a mother's influence to many, even though she didn't have the opportunity for children of her own. She was accomplished, she married later in life, but her influence in the kingdom of God transcended kinship to bring so many into spiritual sonship and daughtership. This is one of the reasons that I stand before you today as a husband and a father, because of this woman who dedicated her life to the well-being of others. Young person, if you're in this room today, all the way from little kids up to older ones, I want to encourage you, learn to honour your mum. Learn to honour mothers. Learn to honour women. Learn to respect girls. You know, things may not be perfect in this world. They were never designed to be after the fall of the Garden of Eden. And just like you and I aren't perfect, neither is the world that we live in. But we get to choose to be people who respect and honor. You know, you may be in this room today. I want to encourage you. This passage of scripture just hit me again this week. Proverbs 23, verse 25. This is for all of us, but young person, listen up. Make your parents proud, especially your mother. If we believe that the word of God is God's word speaking to us, this is God speaking to us this morning. Learn to honor women. Make your parents proud, especially your mum. especially your mum, with the choices you make, with the decisions that you make. Let them be honouring and respectful. Amen. Now, if you're here today because your mum asked you to come, made you come, threatened you to come, bribed you to come, tricked you to come, I tell you the truth, the day is coming for you when your frustration and your annoyance and your anger and other feelings turn to joy, gratitude, and thanksgiving. Now, to the mothers and women who front up for your own children, who stand in the gap on behalf of the children of God that God has brought into your life, we just want to affirm you, encourage you, keep at it. Keep at it. We love it. You received a mission, and unrelentingly, you've entered into the trenches of raising the generations to come. Your mission is to form moral, ethical, and spiritual young people. And we stand with you, we champion you, we affirm you. We are here for your victories, we're here for your trials, your loss, your grief, and your stories of redemption. You know, mothers, women, girls, I want to encourage you, find redemption, find fortification, find affirmation, find anointing, find power, empathy, commitment. God's grace is upon you. May you step into his will in your faith and your faithfulness. Hold fast to the gospel. Be committed to be people who front up to the calling of God, whether it be in your career, the influence spaces that God brings you into, the pathway that God's set before you. Can I encourage you? God has given you a baton. Hold on to that baton and run with it. We champion you. Your value, it's not measured by what is seen and what is done. Instead, you are valued for who you are, a daughter of the Most High God. Amen. You know, I've mentioned that earlier on, that the immense significance that mothers and women face can be hard to grasp. You've got this brief window where God brings, whether it's children into your life or nieces and nephews or people within the church, there's this brief window of the moment to influence them. I think the older we get, the more we begin to understand that. Can anyone agree with that? This brief window of time. You know, likewise, in the scriptures this morning, there's many women in history, and they may not have been aware of the vital role that they were playing in God's redemptive plan. And perhaps even like my mum may have, she may have doubted the redemptive plan that God had for my life, the impact that she would face in dealing with what could be described as a troublesome child. And just like these women in the scriptures, you know, there's these women of faith, and they're believing for God's promises and living out their commitment to God's will, faithfulness, obedience in the day-to-day. You know, perhaps you've heard this following scripture before. Maybe you've even read it before. Proverbs 31, 26 to 29. It says, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions are on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Maybe you've thought to yourself, women, well, if I could just get a little bit of extra time, maybe at least one or two of those things could happen. Or is this timeline for this, is this like now, or is this like also crossover into eternity? Like, you know, maybe you've been out working, so I'm just working towards just exercising and actioning those things in my life. And I want to encourage you that Proverbs 31, it's a pattern of biblical manhood and womanhood. It's what we're called to grow towards to. As we're refined, as we're purified, we're pruned and redeemed, we begin to look more like the Christ that these scriptures draw us to. You know, you may have heard people say this before. You know, they've read Proverbs 31, it's like, I want to be a Proverbs 31 woman. Has anyone said that before? You haven't said it before? I want to encourage you to do that today. Do that today. See, in my heart of hearts, I love it. I love this passage of scripture. But I've never heard anyone say before that they want to be a Proverbs 31 man. Has anyone ever said that before? Oh, it just hit me this week. I read it. And I think so often we're drawn to the latter passages, where it's like everything that a woman of God's meant to be. But does anyone realize that the verses 1 to 9 are the calling for what men are actually called to be? Has anyone ever read that? But you'll go home and read it now and you'll be like, look, husband. Look, person who I'm thinking about marrying. You know, this deep understanding. What I love of these Proverbs 31, 1 to 9, where it talks about, I mean, it's the wisdom of a mother speaking to her son. It's like, God has called you to be this in this world. Now, I want us to look at the women of faith in the Bible today, a woman who exercises the faith and faithfulness that God has for them. These women that we're going to talk about, they demonstrate that their beginnings were not the determining factor. In fact, their faith and obedience to God led them to a place where God's interventions and miracles could occur. And the first one I talk about today is Hannah. Is anyone familiar with Hannah in the Bible? Hannah's Samuel's mum. And the story of Hannah, it's remarkably touching. You know, she shared this prolonged experience with barrenness that many other women in the scriptures also shared as well. And she was also facing the additional hardship and cruelness of taunts from her husband's other wife. Aren't you glad that we only have one wife and one husband these days? Amen. Amen. But despite this cruel taunting, Hannah steadfastly held on to her faith. She brought her prayers before God. She would go to the temple and petition God with the desires of her heart. And ultimately, her prayers that she brought before God were heard, resulting in the birth of Samuel. And she demonstrates this profound selflessness. She kept her promise to God by dedicating her son to him. And what I love about this is that God then showed Hannah great favor, blessing her with 5 more children, bringing immense joy to her life. We look at Elizabeth. Does anyone know who Elizabeth is? Not the queen. Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mum. And similar to Hannah, Elizabeth, who was barren into her very old age, and she became a woman who stewarded her miracle in the Bible. She was granted the ability to conceive and bear a son. And as she gave birth to this son, an angel brought commands before her. And like Hannah, Elizabeth dedicated her son to God. A son who was a messenger. A son who was brought to prepare the way of Jesus, known to us as John the Baptist in the scriptures today. Has anyone ever heard of Jochebed? No one's heard of Jochebed? Well, one person's. Ooh. Yeah, Jochebed. She's actually the mother of Moses. And this story of Jochebed in Exodus 2, the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, she's a testament to the incredible faith she seemed to be facing. This no-win situation, this no-win moment, facing the horrific decree that all of the firstborn Hebrew male infants had to be eradicated from the face of Egypt. And so she made this agonizing decision to place her baby in a little basket thatched with tar around it and put him into the river. Nothing short of God's powerful intervention was seen in this moment. Miraculous. Her child was discovered by the Pharaoh's daughter. God's intervention. Miriam, Moses' sister, was standing away off just trying to see what was going to happen with her little brother. And as she saw Pharaoh's daughter pick up the child, She ran over. Talk about intervention. She ran over and was like, would you like me to get one of the Hebrew mums to nurse him? So all of a sudden, this intervention, Jochebed gets brought in to care and nurse for her own son. God's power at work. God's intervention at work. All seem lost, but God turns the table. Divine intervention assured that Moses would one day deliver the entire nation of Israel from Egyptian slavery. So powerful. Out of Jochebed's obedience, out of her faith, God powerfully used her son to lead the Hebrew people out of hardship into the promised land. In Hebrews 11:23, this is why you haven't heard of Jochebed, because in this Exodus 2, you don't hear her name, you just hear it's Moses' mum. It's only when you go to the following passages and into Numbers that you see the family tree and you see the parents' names and the children as well. But it says this in Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, they saw. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you parents. I want to encourage you mothers. I want to encourage you women in our church. When you see people around you in the church, when you see your nieces and your nephews and the people in your neighborhood, I want you to begin to look at them with the faith of Moses' parents, of Jochebed. It's like, this is no ordinary child. What God can do through the life of an individual is powerful. Now, we see Jochebed and her husband's faith in action, revealing how to trust in God. Can just put yourself in that place for a moment. It's like you're putting a three-month-old infant into a little floating bed. It's like, off you go. Agonizing. But trusting that God will work all things together. You know, allowed her to see beyond the immediate danger and to the significance of the future. You know, if we look at these passages here of these three individuals, though their biblical presence is limited, particularly in this space, Jochebed's story speaks volumes about women in faith, courage, the lasting influence that God wants to execute through you for God's will and God's miracles to be released to the people in your world. The last group of women that I want us to look at today are Lois and Eunice. Anyone familiar with Lois and Eunice? No one's familiar with Lois and Eunice? Oh, good. You've done Bible college. You should be familiar. Excellent. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says this, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience as night and day. I consistently remember you in my prayers. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Now, maybe you can think, it's like, well, who am I? What can I pass on to the young people in my world? What can I pass on to the people around me? Let me tell you, even if it's something as small as the sincere faith and faithfulness that God has placed within you, it sets the next generation up in an amazing place. You remember what it was like to be without faith. You remember what it was like to live without faithfulness, without hope that the unseen could be seen. This is the power. Lois and Eunice passed this on to Timothy. Timothy's mother and grandmother were sincere in faith, followers of Jesus. You know, the faith that they lived with, they imparted it to Timothy. I want to encourage you, impart faith into the next generation. Impart faith into the next generation. Yep, it's awesome that you're saved. It's awesome that you're redeemed. Everything that God is doing within you, impart it to the next generation. It doesn't happen by accident. Healthy family culture doesn't happen by accident. Young people following in the ways of their parents and the generations, it doesn't happen by accident. Yep, you can pray about it, but can I encourage you, impart words of wisdom, impart words of faith, impart prophecies to the generations that are around you. You know, why have I mentioned these women today from the scriptures? You know, in and of themselves, they weren't significant by reputation biblically. They were regular, everyday women, but their heart was for the kingdom. They lived ordinary lives. They had to deal, though, with extraordinary challenges. Extraordinary challenges. Hannah, I can't imagine the immense weight and grief, living with the banner over her life of barrenness, being picked on by family members, yet she chooses to have a heart that stays soft and faith-filled. Her husband, a godly man, her husband loved her so much. But Hannah went to the house of the Lord, poured her soul out to God. You know, 1 Samuel 16, we see this picture. It's like her heart is, don't take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Yes, terrible things happen. Yes, the banner may be this. Out of your anguish and grief, bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Watch what he can do. Eli's answer is, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him. She petitioned the Lord for promises. Through fire, through flood, through anguish, through grief, she gave birth to a prophet who anointed the King of David, the family line that leads to Jesus. Out of anguish and grief, the Savior of the world is born. Amen. Elizabeth, late in life without children, the hope that she had seemed to evade her, but she carries into this world the one who would prepare the way for Jesus. Jochebed refusing to let her offspring be taken by the enemy. A horrible decision to have to make, but with faith in her heart, God makes a way and cares for the next generation and releases the next generations from slavery. Amen. Church, women, men, young person, whether you raise a child, whether you foster a child, whether you disciple a young person, you know, there may be someone in this place this morning that's going to anoint the next generation. There may be someone in this place this morning that's going to prepare the way for the gospel to be known. There may be someone here today that's going to help deliver generations from the grip of sin and the separation from God. Or you're going to carry the torch of faith from generation to generation to generation. See, remember, you were once that child. Either early in life, in your adolescent years, your young adult years, or your midlife or your older life, someone went out of their way to bring love to you so that you could be known by God in the kingdom of God. They ministered discipleship, kindness, care, support, correction, and the heart of God for you and to you. It may not have come from a biological parent. See, this is the gift of the church when you're in the family of God. It may not come from a biological parent, but God's bigger than that. This is the heart of God for his church, for his children. But God brings a representative to you that makes a way for your redemption, makes a way for your miracle. You know, perhaps you've been here, you know, where women, mothers, men, young person, perhaps you've been in a season where it feels like all is at a loss. You know, there's been no harvest. There's been no fruitfulness. You may feel like, you know, you've released your children or child into the river like Jochebed, and the promise hasn't yet come to pass. I say this, women of faith, the Lord is with you. Women of faith, the Lord is with you. Young woman learning faith, hang in there. The God who goes before you is with you. Men, young men, God is a God of miracles. Hold on to faith. Hold on to promises. Now, if you're here today, God has made sure that your intervention has taken place or is about to take place. It wasn't by chance that you found yourself today. It wasn't by chance that you've either already found the hope of salvation in Jesus or you're about to hear about it for the first time. God is a God who loves every single person on this earth. You know, God's heart towards you is like a mother towards the newborn. It says this in Isaiah 66, 13. You may have read this before, maybe you haven't. It says this, I will comfort you there like a mother comforting her child. That is God's heart. That is God's heart towards each and every single one of us. He sent Jesus into this world, not just for your comfort, but your salvation. He sent Jesus into this world for your forgiveness, for your restoration. He went to the cross, the grave. He rose again on the third day. Jesus is the intervention you need. Your soul needs, your spirit needs. You completely need the salvation of Jesus. You know, I want to encourage you, whatever your experience in life, He came to restore your relationship with God, to heal your heart of earthly pain and grief. In Romans 10:13, and this may be a familiar scripture to you, it says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not may be saved, not could be, will be saved. Romans 10 verse 9, just a couple of verses earlier, says this, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not a maybe. This is why God sent his son Jesus, so that you will be saved. You know, I started today with this statement. May today be a day of healing, redemption, passion reignited, vision awakened, understanding broadened and unity expanded. I want to encourage you today that starts by coming into a relationship with Jesus. Without him, some of these things are barely possible. With him, all of these things are 100% possible. And I want to give the room today and those who are watching online the opportunity to come into a relationship with God. How do we do that? By acknowledging the fact that we have sinned against God, but he also sent Jesus to forgive us of our sin, to set us free of our sin, so that we'd be known as sons and daughters of God. What an amazing, amazing narrative that God has for each and every single one of us. In a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer of salvation. You're going to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. Believe in our hearts that God raised him on the third day. But before we pray the prayer, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to God and say, yeah, that's me. That's exactly what I need. Everything that's going on in my life right now has brought me to this moment in time. And so if we could just close our eyes for a moment, just to give some respect to the people around you today, because this is a moment between you and God. And as we come into this crux moment of the morning, if that's you, if you would say, I need Jesus, I need God, I need to be free of my past, and I want to walk into a future with him. If that's you, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. No one looking around this morning. And once you've put your hand up, you can pop it back down. Don't want to embarrass you, but this is a moment for you to say to God, yeah, that's me. On the count of three, if that's you, feel free to pop your hand up. Once you've put it up, you can put it back down. One, two, three. If that's you, respond to Jesus this morning. Respond to his love. Respond to his forgiveness. He loves you so deeply. Is there anyone say, yeah, I need that? If you're online today, this is for you as well. Responding to the hope and love and freedom of Jesus Christ wants to set you free for all eternity. Wants to change the narrative of your family for generations to come. Awesome. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Anyone else today and say, yeah, that's me. Holy Spirit. We're going to pray a prayer in a moment, just with our eyes closed still. If you put your hand up, pray this prayer like with your full voice. If you didn't put your hand up, but you're like, I needed to put my hand up, can I encourage you? It's not about hands today being raised. It's about hearts saying, God, I need you. I can't do this life without you. I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you pray this prayer too. The church is going to join us in praying this prayer together. Let's pray. Dear God, nice and loud. Dear God, I thank you that you sent your son, that he went to the cross, went to the grave, and rose again on the third day. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised Jesus. Forgive me of my sin. I repent of my sin. I turn to you and I proclaim Jesus is Lord. I'm choosing to follow Jesus for all the days of my life. Amen.
We pray that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.